Salon Montage is the Twin Cities' premier salon and spa destination and proud official hair sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. With three convenient locations in Edina, Woodbury, and Chanhassen, there is a salon close to you. Visit online at salon.com.
All roads lead to today, the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. We got you covered today, Vikings fans. Pete Bursich, Ron Johnson, and I break down just what the two selections on night one means for the future of the Purple. That's right, J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner are the newest members of the Purple and Gold. And we break down just what that means today, right here on the Minnesota Vikings podcast. Tune in. Well, night one of the NFL draft has just concluded, and the Vikings have made two selections with their two picks in tonight's draft. And the first selection with the 10th overall pick was J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of the University of Michigan, a guy that a lot of experts and a lot of fans had mocked to the Vikings at the 11th overall pick. A lot of people didn't expect him to fall that far, but he fell to 11. Well, he fell to 10 with the Vikings trading up with the Jets to acquire him. Moving on to the 17th overall selection, the Minnesota Vikings selected Dallas Turner, edge rusher, who will be labeled as an outside linebacker here in Minnesota. But he was an edge rusher for Alabama University, University of Alabama last year, and just a guy who was a havoc. He raised havoc.
And good, yeah.
He was really good.
I mean, we didn't concentrate much on Dallas Turner because our expectations were that guy's gone.
Right.
He'd be gone by then. And if you'd have said, hey, you're going to get J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, if you'd have told me that 4 hours ago, I'd have been number one.
Yeah,
let's go. But I would have thought that it was only because J.J. McCarthy had fallen to 23. And that's the complete opposite of what happened when you had six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. So the ability to get back in there, and so many – with the first 14 – we're all offensive players, I believe. It's an unprecedented amount of offensive players. Yeah. There wasn't a cornerback picked until 24 with the Detroit Lions. This was as one-sided of an offensive draft that I've seen in a long time, and I think the Vikings took advantage of that.
Let me give fans a precursor. If you don't know the voice that you just listened to, that is Pete Bursich, who is the Vikings radio analyst for the Vikings Radio Network. And Ron Johnson is also here from Fox 9, Vikings Game Day Live. And Ron, just your initial reactions when you hear the Viking selections and just the reaction that fans had here at US Bank Stadium at the Miller Lite draft party.
Yeah, I agree with Pete on that one. Like, I didn't expect him to be able to get Dallas Turner in the first round at 17.
No.
A lot of people had Dallas Turner as the first defensive guy off the board in some mocks. Lewis Riddick said he was one of the most explosive defensive players in this draft. But the draft is a funny thing, and that's why we sign up every year to do it, because you never know what these GMs are going to do. And the first ridiculous puzzle piece was the Atlanta Falcons. And I think once the Atlanta Falcons took Penix, everybody started scrambling because they assumed the Falcons were going to take a defensive guy or an offensive weapon to help out Kirk Cousins, and they took a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it started, and then you have a bunch of other GMs now scrambling. You have the Vikings celebrating. and honestly, it felt like the Eagles taking Jalen Reagor and leaving Justin Jefferson on the board.
Yep.
Like, it had a similar feeling of like, oh, you needed a quarterback, and you might have just took the wrong one. The Eagles needed a receiver, and we know they took the wrong one. And so, I mean, time will only tell with this J.J. McCarthy pick. But Dallas Turner, Brian Flores is a mastermind. We know that. He has the ability to get a lot out of guys that, like, Danielle Hunter's not an outside linebacker. He's a DN.
Yep.
And he put him in outside linebacker and made it work. Well, now you have Dallas Turner, you have Grenard, and you also have Van Ginkle that are all true outside linebackers.
Right.
And so now he can put one in the five, one in the seven, and then one in the seven on the other side.
Right.
And you can get after the quarterback.
Yeah, to your point, the best four pass rushers or whatever are going to be on the field on third down.
Yeah.
It's so substituted now, it's not going to be a problem. The other thing, too, is with Van Ginkle and Grenard. Van Ginkle's coming off surgery. Grenard has missed, he's missed a decent amount of games. So now you have depth at one of the most important positions on the field. And that's the ability to get off the quarterback.
I mean, rushing the passer, I mean, that is the number one trait when it comes to being a defense, a really good defense. One, you got to stop the run, but you got to get after the passer because third down is the money down. The fact that you have a guy in Dallas Turner, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, over 30 tackles for loss, over 23 and a half sacks during his college career, at least the last two seasons, how important was it to get a pass rush early on in the draft?
No, there's no question. That's where you get him. If you look back at our season defensively, our most inefficient defense was when we were rushing five and dropping six. And you rush five, you get one-on-ones across the board. Somebody's got to win. Now you have three guys between Van Ginkle, Grenard, and Dallas Turner who should win. Your odds just – you have three guys that are going to be rushing in those situations that should win. So it's going to help the back end of the defense, I think, a ton to have that added pressure. You know, again, Flores is as creative as you can be as a defensive schematic, you know, with the defensive schematics. Now you have a guy like him for 5 years.
The
talent, and I think it's the what I like most about him is he's not a Kayvon Thibodeau, meaning he's not just an athletic guy. He just doesn't beat guys around the edge, right? It's not he also has power.
Yeah.
And you and I saw this when we watched our film on Grenard, was when the back was chipping. He still had the strength and the power to be able to just avoid the chip, take the tackle on right down the middle, but still march that tackle back into the lap. And so now you're taking up two guys. You're taking up a tackle and a running back in protection. That's going to help everybody else, but yet you're still getting pressure.
Yep.
So the ability to rush with power, in my opinion, it's easier, I think, to teach the finesse pass rush than it is to teach power. You either have it or you don't. And unfortunately, the guys that do have power, like Za'Darius Smith, right, they're the guys with the power are usually the more stiff-hipped guys, the guys that don't bend so well. Turner has both. And so the potential there is just off the charts. That's what's so exciting about it.
Yeah, I know. When I watch some of the highlights of Turner, I will say that the term they use was loose rusher, which I'm guessing is what you're talking about. The
exactly.
Fluidity.
Yeah, loose in the hips and can bend.
The one thing I noticed in some of his highlights is, and not just highlights, film study, because, of course, I watched the Michigan game closely. He had the ability to dip and rip and go fast and get lower than the tackle. Then he also had the ability, he does like this little stutter, and then he just power jams and pushes a guy back into the lap. He might not get the sack,
right,
but he's creating pressure because he's pushing the tackle back into the pocket. So he is a guy that, like you said, he has that ability. But I think the cool thing about the way the Vikings went and got him was because when you saw what the draft was doing at that point, up until 14, it was offense.
Yeah.
At 15, you had Latu come off, then you had Byron Murphy the second come off, and then the Vikings probably realized, like, hey, Chop Robinson or Dallas Turner, who do we want? We probably can get one of them at 23, but we got to go up higher, and Chop went at 21, so you wouldn't have got him. Like, you know, so you had to figure that out.
Right, and Chop, I mean, Chop is a great football player. I'm not saying that he's not going to be a great pro, but Chop, he's a speed guy.
Yeah.
Right? And if he misses, he doesn't have a lot of lead in the pencil, and he can get pushed around a little bit. This is, again, why I like Jared Verse a lot, too, because Jared Verse is stout.
Correct.
You still got to defend the run.
Yeah, they're saying Jared Verse is like Khalil Mack.
I thought Jared Verse but I think you look at the two of them, and it's like they're both really good. Turner can be way better because he has more athleticism than Verse does, but I like them both. And again, we focused on Verse so much, I did, because I'm like, yeah, Dallas Turner is going to go to Atlanta at worst.
Right.
And then, you know, here
they
we
get
go.
A quarterback.
So,
and Turner reminds me of Terrell Suggs. When you look at his body at 247, 6'3", Suggs came in
4.46.
So he's Suggs, but faster. Suggs came in at 247 with the Ravens out of Arizona State. My third year was his rookie year. By the time his second or third year, Suggs was up to about 260.
And I love what Kwesi said in our interview. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's athletic enough. He can drop in coverage. I'm like, yeah, no. You know, we don't want to be dropping.
That's the last thing
we don't want to make a living dropping this guy in coverage.
4.46. No. Like I said, forward. Suggs ran 4.7, and Billick still went after him. So I think Dallas Turner, he gives you that upside of he can be. I'm not saying he's a future Hall of Famer, but I mean, if you can,
he has the potential.
Correct, and that's what I'm saying. Like if you can get 15, you know, start off with 12 sacks early, and then your career is just 10-plus sacks every year.
Ron,
in this defense, he could do it.
Ron, we've played this game, been around a long time. I know when Randy Moss came into camp in 98, and I remember the first night we were watching film with the DBs, you know, as a defensive unit, in a league where the difference between the most athletic and the least is razor thin.
Right.
There are a handful of guys who are just freaks.
Right.
Just physically freakish. And Turner's kind of that guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, to run a 4.46 at that size with this arm length and the way his motor is, you don't really find many guys like that.
Correct.
Every day. So to have, I mean, I literally.
Not at 17.
Every day.
Like, I literally talked to him about 10 minutes ago via Zoom, and I asked him, I was like, what do these next few days look like for you? Like, what do you do? And he was like, man, honestly, I just want to sit in my room and eat Domino's pizza all night. Like, he's a guy that still is a kid at heart. But
you got to show him Pizza Luce. He got to upgrade that pizza.
Did they tell him to report at 290 or what?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy cow.
It's one of those things where he is going to come in and make plays simply because he fits this Brian Flores scheme when it comes to versatility. But a lot of people are listening to this podcast tonight because they want to talk about the quarterback position. It's a position that everyone knew that the Vikings needed to address with Kirk Cousins signing with the Atlanta Falcons this offseason, and they did so with J.J. McCarthy. Ron, I'll start with you on this. Pete and I did some film on J.J. and just understood what he brings to the table. 2023, when you saw J.J. McCarthy in person, you've told this story a numerous amount of times.
Yep.
You said then that J.J. McCarthy fits Kevin O'Connell's scheme.
Yeah.
Why does it make sense that now he's a Minnesota Viking?
I mean, I said it then, and I'll say it again. He fits the scheme. And when I said that, I saw him at warmups, you know, so just like we do at every college game or pro game, you go on the field, you walk around the field. And so I went to the end zone because I was going to see my cousin, actually, who plays for Michigan. As I'm watching J.J. get warmed up and I'm watching him go through his, you know, what he does pregame, he wasn't a guy that to me, and you know, there's some quarterbacks that just do it for the camera.
Yeah.
You know, they're over there making the pretty throws, spinning on one leg and all that. He was over there just stretching. He was talking some stuff through. And then I saw him stand up. And he literally was eye to eye with me. And so I'm like, I'm 6'3". This kid is legit 6'3". Because people were like, oh, they're lying about his. He's legit 6'3".
His linemen were like 6'7". So
correct.
Look short.
He's legit 6'3". But then when you watch him actually move and throw and go through the game, I really noticed that his ability to pick the right guy every moment. And again, it's probably Harbaugh driven. Harbaugh, we know, like, lives with his quarterbacks. That's what Kevin O'Connell's going to do. Like, some quarterbacks can take to that type of coaching, which clearly Harbaugh's not easy to play for because he's had, what, 4 or 5 guys keep coming in, and he kept looking for a new quarterback, and eventually he landed on McCarthy after 5 years of searching.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? Kevin O'Connell's nicer. He knows the game just as much.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to get a lot out of McCarthy, and I also think that's why everybody was saying, like, where all these quarterbacks are going, Falcons and so on and so forth, like, who has the best situation?
Oh, we do.
I think McCarthy goes into the best situation.
No. Ron, I remember that game vividly. You got me tickets
to
that game.
We can't talk Yeah, you don't talk about the score.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I won't talk about the second play of the game either.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm just thinking about – I mean, it was a pick six. But I'm just thinking about
– right in front of us, too.
Ron, he got his tickets to that game. And I remember you going up to
JJ. We were on the sideline,
And you came over to – I don't know if you remember, but you came over to him and you said, that's a big dude right there. And you were talking about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
So to hear that kind of, you know, come to fruition now, now he's a Minnesota Viking. It's really cool to see how things kind of come full circle.
He is. I mean, I had watched him before that because just quarterbacks, period. You know how it goes when you watch. And so I was watching him. I was watching Roman Wilson, the receiver, because I love to watch receivers get warmed up. And then so when Gabe and I were standing on the sideline, as McCarthy comes running out the tunnel, and again, pads, helmet, shoulder back.
Yeah.
But he is he's looked like a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like some guys come out the tunnel, like Eli Manning, and you're like, if this dude wasn't a quarterback, he could be like a school teacher.
Right.
You know, Peyton stood tall. Eli shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kirk Cousins, honestly, he stood tall when he met Kevin O'Connell. He didn't stand tall around Zimmer. I feel like Kirk grew 2 inches when he met Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
But J.J. McCarthy coming out the tunnel, you're like, this dude's an athlete.
Well,
so I think that's what Minnesota's been looking for. Mm. But it's going to take some time. Like, this is not the end, but yeah, I just, when I saw him, he was built well.
Well, and we saw Gabe when we did our quarter, you know, we did our college film, and you know, everyone who saw McCarthy, they just, you know, when you say the lack of evidence is not evidence of lacking, meaning, yeah, we didn't see all the throws or the number of throws because there was a ton of film on all these quarterbacks.
Correct.
And I mean, you had 2 years of starting for all six of these quarterbacks that were drafted. What McCarthy did, a couple things. First of all, he actually was under center, turned his back on a defense to play fake, and then whipped his head around, was able to survey the field. He saw a receiver, even with a safety, knows where to go with it.
Threw a dart.
Those are the, and then this is saying, yeah, he has the arm strength, he has the accuracy, because those are the most important things. But if you listen to Kevin O'Connell, whatever his things, he's like, well, accuracy is big. And then he also mentioned one time about how quarterbacks need to be able to identify voids, and you have to identify them before they're there, right? And I think McCarthy is really showed that. Now, did he have 2 years of that?
Right.
And the other part, so a lot of question was going into this, well, you know, did they not throw the ball because of him? I don't think so. And we have it on film. That's why I always go back to the film. That offensive line could run block. They could not pass block.
Correct.
I mean, they really struggled to pass protect. So the lack of an air game out of the University of Michigan, I think, was more due to necessity and Harbaugh saying, this is what we can do, so we're going to do it. Again, in college, you play to your strengths.
Right.
In the NFL, you attack weaknesses, and you got to, you know, fix those weaknesses. I think the other side of it, too, again, going back to the height, weight, speed, J.J. McCarthy won a state championship as a sophomore quarterback at Nazareth Academy in Chicago, in Illinois. Very competitive football state.
Yeah.
Goes to Michigan and wins a national title as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
The kid knows how to win.
Yeah.
He lost one game in 2 years in college. Yeah, he's going to lose more than that in the NFL. But my point is he knows what it's like to be on a winning team.
Right.
He knows what it's like to be in high-pressure situations. You know what I mean?
Right.
62-3 since high school.
But for those people that don't follow Big Ten football, Michigan had the best run game in the Big Ten. So it wasn't him. It was, I got Blake Corum and I got Donovan Edwards.
Right, but that's my point.
And you can't give them the ball.
And again, their offensive line, as well as they could run block, they were not pass pros.
Think about Penn State, though. Like, for the people that, and Gabe, you play Madden.
Yep.
For the video game people, if you run outside zone and you get 7 yards, and then you run outside zone and you get 7 yards, and then you run counter and you get 15, and then you come back and you run lead and you get seven, why would you stop?
Yeah. Keep
and that's what they did to Penn State. They kept going. Right. Nothing against Chop Robinson, but they kept going at him. They're like, you know what? He's not going to stop us.
And again, that's a philosophy that, you know, I've heard before too, many times, is when you have guys that you can't run away from because they're too fast.
Correct.
And they run at him.
Yeah, they ran
run
at him.
You know,
wherever he was, they were running at him, but they just
don't let him use that
stop.
Weapon. Right.
They never stopped running the ball. People were like, oh, can J.J. McCarthy, why didn't they trust him to win the game? Why? They're getting 5 to 7 yards a carry in the second half.
He's used to the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, he's won some big games.
He had to win in Alabama.
Speaking of pressure.
Oh, and by the way, you watch a highlight film, and we'll get to this because I think, you know, when we do our film room, a vast majority of his great plays and great throws are on third down.
Yeah.
Which is when a lot of teams bring pressure. And J.J. McCarthy was second in the NCAA when it came to completion percentage against pressure. He had 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions when facing pressure his final season at the University of Michigan. Guys, as we move forward, this is going to be a loaded, loaded draft. The Vikings did make a lot of trades today, which means as of right now, they do not have a day two pick. They do have a handful of day three picks. So if you're looking at the guys left on the roster, and let's say they do not make a day two pick tomorrow, what are some moves or what are some positions of need that the Vikings should address on day three?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I defensively, I think you can get a lot of mileage out of a defensive tackle. If you're a defensive tackle, if you're a free agent defensive tackle, this is the place to be because we put so many guys on the line. You're not going to see the double teams, you know, and so you can get some value, I think, out of that. The cornerback situation, if we can find we need physical corners. We need corners that can hit and corners that can tackle because of the whip screens that we see and because in a lot of the all-out pressures and things like that. So a cornerback who may not be the speediest in the world, but plays well, smart, and can hit and tackle, he could bring some value. Interior offensive line, I think it'd be the only other spot where, you know, you're looking for somebody, or maybe a backup running back. I mean, we're pretty, you know, we got, as far as backup, you know, as running back situation goes, I think we're pretty good. So maybe take a shot on a small school interior offensive lineman, right? You know, same thing maybe for the interior defensive lineman, and then you know, find a corner. And I think other than that, you're pretty well set.
Yeah.
So there aren't a lot of holes right now to fill, right? I mean, you filled them. You filled a lot of the holes in free agency,
right?
And you know, again, next year, you know, cap wise, we're going to be in good shape. I bet Kwesi right now is already thinking about JJ and what he's going to have to do to keep him around. And
correct.
Name your
next kid JJ.
Right.
Like, whatever you got to do, name him Justin, middle name Jefferson, Justin Jeff. Mensa, like
yeah, Adolfo Mensa, JJ like to that. JJ. Oh my
but,
God! Here we
so
go.
So the one thing I would say is, Pete, you hit the nail on the head with the interior. I keep going back to, and only reason is because like seeing Everson today, talking to him a little bit before, and like I think back to the Kevin Williams, you know, guys like that.
Yeah. So the interior defensive line. Again, we brought in Sheldon Day last year, and he gave us a lot of good snaps.
Had a sack and a half the last few games of the season.
If you're a defensive lineman, man, this is the place to be.
Yeah.
This is the place to be.
These guys probably won't be there, but Devondre Sweat, Jerzon Newton, they're still there. Braden Fisk.
I like, you know, Braden Fisk is – I like that kid too.
Chris Jenkins from Michigan could possibly be there in the third round.
His dad played
if
in the league.
They could jump up. Yeah, he came out with me. If they could jump up.
Yep.
If they can jump up and say, hey, take our 2025 third round pick, can we get yours right now? Go get a guy like Chris Jenkins. Again, another Big Ten guy. He already has a connection with JJ in the locker room, and another pro ready guy, a pedigree guy that his dad played in the league. So, he knows the game. Yep. And this is a kid that in any other draft, maybe probably is for sure second round.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Tavondre Sweat, he's a first, you know, he was supposed to be a first round guy. So this is one of those drafts where, again, I go back to the Falcons. I think that was the first domino where people were like, what the heck just happened? And now so many offensive guys, and there was a run on defensive guys, and then it ended off with Ricky Purcell going to San Francisco, which means Brandon Ayuk is most likely gone.
Yeah.
And then another receiver in the end to the Panthers, which, you know, trying to help out Bryce Young. But for the Vikings, you got to find a corner, and I would say you got to find a D-tackle. And that's what I would do in the late rounds.
The other thing I think with this draft, too, is with a combination of COVID and NIL.
Yeah.
And I've read and talked to some people who I trust, and then they're saying, yeah, there's about 150 guys, and that about 150 to 175 draft eligible guys that were graded to be draft eligible stayed in college. So, yeah, this year there was a plethora of good quarterbacks, but NIL is keeping a lot of these day 2, day 3 guys that maybe are just young and want to start making some money. And keeping them in college. So, you know, you may have to – my point is you may have to jump up to get – but then, man, we got Ivan Pace last year. I mean, how about that?
That's very true.
I don't care, you know, draft whatever, but you bring in a guy like him as a free agent, and he starts for you and contributes and plays well. I mean, that's unbelievable. So, yeah, there's still a lot of possibility and some exciting talent that could still be brought on and added to this team.
Exciting talent for sure. We'll get you guys out of here with this. I know you guys don't like talking grades, but we got to give some grades when it comes to starting to figure out how this first round shakes out. So when you look at JJ McCarthy and Dallas Turner, JJ McCarthy, the 5th overall quarterback selected in this year's draft, Dallas Turner, the 2nd overall edge rusher selected in this year's draft. How would you grade the Vikings with those two picks tonight?
An A. Absolutely an A. Just because you've got McCarthy, who may not have been in the top 3 as far as, you know, quarterback grades go, but you're looking at 3, maybe 4 in a year where you had potential, you had 6 first rounders. And then to get the number 1 edge rusher. I mean, that's Jacksonville for how long? The number 1 pick in the draft, Jacksonville, take the edge rusher from Alabama.
Yep.
In a way, and to get that person at 17. Oh, my, you know, I would absolutely, you know, there's no points for winning the draft, and I hate that part about the whole thing. And, you know, what the people, what they say the day after, the weeks after, it's like it doesn't matter. But the potential of the two gentlemen that we brought in and to this franchise, you know, wow.
Yeah.
And this you could look back on a night like tonight and say 4 years from now and say this is where it started. So not what Kwesi did 2 years ago, not really what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think you have to give this team an A.
I love it. Ron?
I'd say A for the players. I say A-plus for the fact that he stayed at, like, 11-10.
Yeah. And to your point, that was the one thing I was worried about coming in here, is that in a league like this, when – you are desperate. Right. You are going to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? You are going to pay. And we were able to just move up one spot.
Yep.
To get, you know,
and give and two then, late
and
rounders.
And then six That's later it. To get the best.
Yep.
You know, come on.
People were saying to get J.J. McCarthy, they thought it was going to be two or three first rounders to get J.J. McCarthy.
If that yeah, you're right. You know, think about that. If we'd have given up three first rounders to get J.J. at number three,
correct,
let's say, or whatever.
Then we don't get Dallas Turner.
Right. We obviously don't get that, but. You gave away three first round. You know, it's
crazy.
People would have been okay with it.
Yeah, they would have been okay with it, but now you can see.
And then to get that?
Yeah, but now you play chicken and you won. You let the Patriots play there. They're like, okay, if you want them, go draft them. Because I'm pretty sure
and they did.
Kevin O'Connell said, if they want J.J., I want Drake. You know what I mean? Like, he was going to play that game.
Right.
Now, who's to say the Falcons wouldn't have took Drake May? You know what I mean? Like,
that could have been that. Oof.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
This is going to be an interesting draft. I mean, it's only night one, and we're talking this much about the upcoming Vikings this upcoming season. And I'm just looking forward to what night two and night three looks forward to. But, guys, Pete, Ron, always a pleasure having you guys on. It is going to be a fun season. I know we get a chance to hear and talk to you guys leading up until week one. But, Pete, I'm excited.
This is probably the most important draft for this franchise in 30 years, maybe more.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A very unique situation with the six quarterbacks. We, you know, everyone's excited at the combine. Everybody went nutty in free agency. And then, you know, you come into this going, oh, you know, we need a quarterback here. We're kind of desperate. And then to be able to walk out with two first rounders, those two first rounders.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, you got a Cooper DeGene who I love as a player, but it's not like you traded up or you picked him at 22 or,
right,
you know, you reached for somebody that maybe would have been available at the beginning of the second round. Right. I mean, you got two guys that were top 15 all day.
Yeah. And even 11, like the NFL.com, I mean, had J.J. McCarthy on their head. Their screensaver was Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. So even for NFL.com, like, which is basically the NFL Network, they were all saying J.J. McCarthy is the third best quarterback. But, of course, they're going off of the rumors they're hearing from the Patriots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, again, it was – I just feel like the Vikings played their hand the right way.
Yeah.
And that's why I got to give him an A-plus for playing his hand and not – because Gabe mentioned it, too. When you watch that video that we all could see in the war room, they all kind of had that, like, sitting on their hands, like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. The minute they took Penix, the whole room was like, oh it's about to happen.
Yeah. Game on.
Like, we got this. Because
they
knew, like, 9 is the Bears. 10 is where we need to go, Jets.
Yeah.
And so you could see Kwesi. I told Gabe, I said, Kwesi had that, like, he's talking to his girlfriend late at night. He had the arm up on the chair. He had the phone, like, turned sideways. He was super relaxed. And Kevin O'Connell got up, you know, his shirt. He had the collar over the top of the jacket like John Travolta. Like, their whole vibe, the minute they took Penix, their whole vibe was like, we got him.
We got him.
And, again, it felt like I felt like I was in a time warp. I felt like that same video of Mike Zimmer – and what's his name?
Rick Spielman.
When the Eagles took Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, everybody
they
went crazy.
All were like, wait, what? and you can see and Spielman's like, wait, did they just? And then Zim's
you take
like,
this card.
Right. And he's like, go get our
and
guy.
You run.
Yeah.
You run to
so
the podium.
It felt like that. It felt like the same. The minute that happened, Kwesi knew, and Gabe was saying how, you know, he talked to one of the inside guys, and they were saying they went through so many different
scenarios,
and this was the most they had been through. That scenario was, hey, if this happens and he's there at 9, we got to go to the Jets and get him because we can't let the Raiders or whoever else come up and get him.
Right. I will say this to close it out.
Or the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, I know the Raiders were a team that were looking for a quarterback also. I mean, so many things that could have happened tonight, but Vikings fans, we got our guys. And just from understanding the conversations, some conversations that were happening inside of the building – when it comes to these two selections, I will say they were both high on the Vikings. We got to have.
Oh, you'll say that now.
I will
you
say
wouldn't, you, you didn't say it you I know, couldn't three, say four it. Hours ago.
I
you
couldn't say it. Yeah, okay, I wanted
whatever,
to so bad. But
whatever.
I couldn't say it. But one thing I will say is, Vikings fans, thank you for staying up late with us. Tonight was a lot of fun. You will hear more from myself, Ron, and Pete throughout the draft and throughout the rest of this offseason. So for those three guys and our producer, Eric Davidson, my name is Gabe Henderson. We will talk to you guys soon.
87% of our food comes from rural America. Farmers are incredible, agriculture is incredible, and rural is incredible. Lando Lakes is a farmer-owned cooperative and proud official sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings.
Say hello to flawlessly smooth skin at Pure Lux Med Spa, the preferred med spa of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. Specializing in elite laser hair removal, body contouring, Botox, cosmetic filter, and age-defying skincare treatments such as Diamond Glow and Skin Pen for collagen induction therapy. For more information, visit MyPureLux.com/Vikings for exclusive offers to Vikings fans. That's www.MyPureLux.com/Vikings.